Good evening and welcome to this week's edition of Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio. I'm Chris Ashmore. Well, the countdown is on to see who will become the new president of the Irish Farmers Association. Voting begins on Tuesday, November the 25th, and the election count itself will take place on December the 17th. The three presidential candidates have been all over the country speaking to executive meetings of the IFA. And this week they were in Donegal. Well, to find out more about the election campaign itself, I've been speaking with Pat O'Toole, news correspondent with the Irish Farmers Journal. Delighted to talk to you once again. The IFA elections, well, things really hotting up. The last of the meetings around the country taking place this week, and the three candidates have been to Donegal. And I suppose, Pat, outside of the European and Dáil elections, this is pretty much the biggest election in the country.
I suppose the Shannon election is one that's often it's compared to, because that sees county councillors the length and breadth of the country canvassed by candidates. And in this one, we have almost 950 branches, every parish in the country. So from Bantry to Wexford to Donegal, across to Drogheda. No corner left uncanvassed, no stone left unturned. It's a really intense, with three candidates in the race and two deputy presidential candidates as well. The hustings have been very busy, 17 in all. Donegal, as you say, Monday of this week, then Cavan, Monaghan, and finally in Carlow on Thursday. And that's the end of that marathon session. And then for anyone who's missed those hustings, we're have an interview between the three candidates and our editor, Justin McCarthy. So that'll be the final debate. And that's been streamed live on our website on Friday evening. So that could be an opportunity for people to see the candidates if they haven't done so already. How's it going? We've, I suppose, the three candidates, Tim Cullinan, John Coughlin and Angus Woods. Tim is from Tipperary, John from Cork, and Angus Woods is from Wicklow. Tim, I suppose, has been painting himself as the outsider. He's currently the treasurer of the IFA, former chairman of the Pigs Committee, and he was quite vocal about the emergence of other farm groups and very critical of the IFA's inability to lead farmers. He's been quite critical of the IFA's performance in recent years. He believes that they've allowed the proliferation of other farm organisations, that they failed to lead farmers in a united way, that they haven't been strong enough. He was openly supportive of the beef protests during the summer. And I suppose Angus Woods, as chairman of the Livestock Committee, has taken a very different view. He believes that the protest came at a bad time, that there wasn't a price differential between Ireland and the UK and European countries in the summer, which would have given much room for the factories to pay more than they were paying. The IFA went a different route. They pursued the European Commission and the government for compensation for the Brexit-linked losses that farmers suffered last winter and got the 100 million. And he believes that's his signal achievement. John Coughlin is the Munster Regional Chairman. He has a lot of experience in the organisation. He was County Chairman, served on the Livestock Committee, would have been supportive of the IFA's stance over recent months as well. Many people see him as the favourite. He's playing a more cagey game. The other two candidates have been coming after each other. And John Coughlin has largely been spared the crossfire, I suppose, and has stood apart from that a little. So that's the dynamic that we've had night after night at the hustings around the country.
And the geographical factors, how much do they come into play? Because one would suspect that, you know, maybe farmers in Donegal may be swayed by the background of some of the candidates and maybe the sort of farming that they're involved in themselves.
Of course, that farmers will be swayed by many different things. Sometimes there'll be a personal link. They'll know someone, or they'll know someone attached to the campaign team. Sometimes it'll be a policy issue. Sometimes it will be sectoral. John Coughlin is a dairy farmer predominantly, but he has, I suppose, since quotas switched more to dairying, but prior to that he was his beef farmer still has beef, a sheep farmer still, and also had tillage. So he would be a mixed farmer. Angus Woods, very much a mixed farmer. Suckers, tillage and sheep. He farms on a hill looking down on the M11 and looking out onto the Irish Sea near Ashford in County Wicklow. And then you have Tim Cullinan, who's from Tumi Vara in Tipperary. And he is a pig farmer, came from a small dairy farm, built up a large pig operation, and a very successful farmer. So that's the three candidates.
Mm. And the media plays a big part in this. As you say, some farmers may know of these people, some may have met them at meetings, but there's others who may, until relatively recently, not know that much. And I suppose, like in all elections, it's the floating voter that counts so much in the end.
Yeah, and I mean, people will have differing views on what the influence of the media is, I suppose. Like everything else now, there's a proliferation of media, just like there's a proliferation of farm organisations. The mood among farmers at the moment is very challenging to the candidates. There's a lot of confusion about what the best road forward for Irish farming is. There's a lot of anger among dry stock farmers at the erosion of their incomes. Cap reform is going to be problematic. The cake will be smaller and it has to be cut into smaller slices as a result. And every sector feels they need more, not less. Especially in the West, I was at hustings in Carrick on Shannon in particular, where people feel abandoned. And they are calling on whoever becomes the next president of the IFA to prioritise their sectors and their incomes, which they feel are under more threat than anyone else.
Now, Donegal IFA has always been a strong organisation, something in the region of 28, 30 branches or thereabouts in this neck of the woods. And, you know, the Donegal vote is significant.
It's significant. It's always been sought after. Donegal, because of the nature of farming in Donegal, you have every sector represented. Strong tillage operations in some sections, and then very remote land, hills, hill sheep, and some of the finest sucker herds in the country. So when you go into South Donegal in particular, so I suppose in many ways it's representative of the whole country. And you have canvas teams travelling the whole length of the country to get up to Donegal to be hosted and brought around. And there's that time-honoured tradition. Most branch officers, notwithstanding their own personal preferences, will bring candidates or their campaign teams around the branch to introduce them to the members and let them make their pitch. One thing that's very different this time is the system of voting. One of the reforms that was introduced following the upheaval of 4 years ago, it's actually 4 years ago this week since Eddie Downey resigned, but one of the reforms that was introduced was the switch from the branch vote with that weighted vote where a branch got one vote for itself and its chosen candidate for every 25 members who voted. That's gone and it's now one member, one vote. And that might change the dynamic a little. People will be watching the turnout closely because that old sort of pride of the parish where the officers would be fighting to make sure that their chosen candidate carried the branch, that's not there this time. So how that will affect turnout, we're not sure. But there are concerns that turnout will be low with the morale of farmers being as low as it is and with the proliferation of other farm organisations. Like in recent years, we've had the emergence of the Irish Grain Growers, of the Hill and Natura Farmers, of the Irish Farmers of Designated Land, and now in the last 12 months, the Beef Plan, the Independent Farmers, and even the individual farmers who are currently organising a protest going to Dublin in a couple of weeks.
So much at stake. Now, the voting itself actually begins next Tuesday, November the 25th.
Yeah, and we'll continue up until, I think, the 12th of December, I think is the final date of voting, which, if I'm correct, is also the date of the British general election. And after that, then the votes will be brought to Dublin and counted the following Tuesday. And we'll know all that evening.
And when the votes are counted, is it a straight first past the post?
No, you have to get a majority of votes. So it's very important that people voting vote down 1, 2, 3, because transfers will matter. I don't think there's an expectation that any of the candidates will get over the line on the first count. And the transfers from the eliminated candidates will probably prove decisive.
Yeah, hard to believe Joe Healy's term of office beginning to wind down. And the new president will take up office, I think, at the AGM in January.
Yeah, mid-January. Joe, of course, had a shortened term of office. He came in May. He was formally inaugurated in May of 2016, following following the resignation of Eddie Downey. So it's been a truncated presidency. I think he's done a lot to heal the organisation internally, but there are huge challenges for farming, the proliferation of other farm organisations, the palpable anger we saw at the protests across the country over the summer and into the autumn, and the sense that these next 24 months in particular, as we wrestle with the next cap, could be defining for Irish agriculture. And of course, overhanging everything, the massive challenge of climate change, how we minimise the carbon footprint of Irish farming, how we ensure sustainability, how we maintain biodiversity in our changing climate, and make sure that we do as much to work with nature and do as little damage to nature as we can while producing the food that the world depends on.
Now, Pat, just before I let you go, just to mention also, as well as the three presidential candidates, there's also elections to deputy president candidates and also three Munster chair candidates and two Connacht chair candidates. Do people here in Donegal vote for the Munster and Connacht positions as well?
No, they're within their own regions, and the regional chair position is currently held by Nigel Renahan. He's midterm, there's no challenge there. That's the Ulster North Leinster region, so he's the standing chair. But the deputy presidency, absolutely, and Brian Rush and Thomas Cooney, the two candidates for that. Brian is a dairy convert. He was a dry stock and tillage farmer in Kildare and converted to dairying. young fella, still in his 30s. Thomas Cooney, also fresh-faced. Thomas is from Cavan, and he's currently the National Environmental the National Chair of the Environment Committee, which is a very important post now in IFA. And those two have been impressing. Many people have said that for early arrivals, the minor match has been maybe more impressive than the senior match between the three presidential candidates at a lot of the hostings. So whoever becomes the next president will have a very steady hand beside them, a very young, energetic deputy president in either Thomas Cooney or Brian Rush. So that's a very important election.
And finally, although there, as you've mentioned there, it's one member, one vote, it's not an obligatory vote, so it's still down to the member themselves whether they want to cast it.
Yeah. still a significant amount of people do. It's pretty important for the IFA standing that there's a good turnout. There'll be a lot of work on the ground to get the vote out. The vote will take place in the local branch, so people won't have far to travel. It's the AGM. There's obviously an AGM every year in the election cycle. That's the big AGM, and that's when you get a good turnout, and many branches make it a social event as well, and catch up and have a pre-Christmas get-together, which is no harm on these long winter nights either.
Pat O'Toole, news correspondent with the Irish Farmers Journal. The Minister for Agriculture, Food and the Marine, Michael Creed, this week announced the commencement of advance payments under Year 3 of the Sheep Welfare Scheme. The Minister confirmed the rate for the advance payment was again set at 85%. Now, the scheme is co-funded by the European Union as part of Ireland's Rural Development Programme from 2014 to 2020. Around 18,500 farmers participate in the Sheep Welfare Scheme, many of them in Donegal. Minister Creed Reid urged any farmers with outstanding queries to respond to the department immediately in order to facilitate payment. And the minister concluded that the fourth year of the scheme will be opening in the new year. This week has also seen the IFA Animal Health Chairman Pat Farrell expressing concern about what he has termed the relentless imposition of TB controls by the Agriculture Minister Michael Creed. Mr. Farrell pointed out that the farmers' contributions to the TB programme have increased by €4.5 million since 2012 to €35 million annually. Meanwhile, ICSA Animal Health and Welfare Chairman Hugh Farrell has said that the recent beef protests would seem like a tea party compared to the unrest that would follow if any minister tried to introduce twice-yearly TB testing on all herds, including those that are TB-free. I suspect we may hear more on this in the coming weeks. Well, that's it for this week's edition of Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio. As always, many thanks for listening. Until next week, from me, Chris Ashmore, goodbye.